Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
There's a reason why you should never work with animals, children, or siblings. Murphy's Law Radio Show, only on Joy 94.9.
Good morning, troops.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. That's like a roll call. Good morning, Joysters. Good morning, Dean Murphy.
Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Wasn't that like a little throwback to Stock Aitken and Waterman?
What, the Samantha Jade
track? Wasn't it? Yes.
Is that new?
Just really like took me back to a time where Kylie danced around in, you know, with that dress with the, put your hand on your heart, you know.
It's been sort of classified in our music library as an old track for Joy. She's only been out for like 3 years, hasn't she? Anyway, whatever. We've got a massive hour of stuff coming up this morning, Anna Murphy.
This me is what I was going to say.
So many things gone on this week. Hasn't it been a rip-roaring week of like Olympics and...
Oh, it's been busy.
New ventures.
Yes.
I've had a new job.
Oh, dear. Oh. Somebody's looking a little worse for wear after his first few days on the job.
A little bit, yes. It was an interesting week, but we're going to talk about that
a little later, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. And congratulations, we should mention too, little Kyle from Adelaide, Kyle Chalmers, and he's very charming.
Isn't he?
Very.
A bit shy. He was almost too shy to get up on the podium to win his gold medal.
God love
That's how shy he was.
Really?
I should volunteer to go and be the person that gets up there and accepts it for them if they're too shy. Because
polar opposite. The lady who's never done any exercise before accepting the medal for someone who's so in tune with their body.
I'll have you know that I do exercise just when I want to. Not for an Olympic glory, but I'd be happy to stand in for the shy little retiring
You're so chirpy this morning. You're off to Malaysia next week, aren't you?
I am. Selamat datang.
Which means?
Oh, I think it's welcome. I'm not sure. It's welcome somewhere in the world.
Can you do that again as we go into the next song?
Yes. Selamat datang.
Heading for a top of, it's going to be overly hot. 15 today. Hit 8 degrees in town at the moment.
Beach weather, is it?
But mind you, Monday and Tuesday next week is 18, both days.
Is it?
Which is awesome.
Well,
back
again,
on track,
I'll be
coming out of it.
Flying to Malaysia. So.
Oh, shut up, you. Anyway. With your water bottle that you can't drink out of
anymore.
Now,
listen, very disturbed about that. I read an article during the week which highlighted the extreme danger of refilling your water bottle.
It's the first thing I got in the car on the way here this morning.
Right?
I wish the face was, everyone could see that face because that was extreme danger.
No. Seriously, like it's the worst thing that you can possibly do. If like drinking out of a water bottle that you haven't washed to within an inch of its plastic life is worse than licking a toilet bowl, apparently.
Who did the test on both? That's what I want to know.
You know? And I'm like, but it's... And they go, oh,
yeah, that's actually worse. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, and... oh, dear. Well, I think the thing is, as I agree with your point this morning at 4 o'clock in the car was, now, Dole, you've really got to take about 20% of that. Like, really, who's writing the article? And germs, you can't just be germ-free. Germs are okay for you. Except when I read the article and it said about washing the bottle regularly, I'd had the same pump bottle going for weeks.
And it's
weeks.
And you're not
dead.
Rinsing.
No, I'm just filling it up with cold water.
You've survived.
And everyone at the gym's doing
it. But it's the worst article you could read. As a hypochondriac, it's the worst thing you could read, isn't
it? Well, that bottle is in the dishwasher at home and I've bought two new ones. So now I'm adding to landfill. Aren't I?
What do you care? You're going to Malaysia. Yeah. You are an idiot.
No, that's absolutely true.
We're just talking about the census, right? How it
you
was a major stuff up on, you know, obviously, you know, they were expecting 16 million people and apparently 2.3 million actually got through. It's a debacle.
It was a debacle.
And then all of a sudden, out of the gates.
No, because you were trying to say. say,
yeah,
why have we got 3 weeks? And I said, no, the census is about getting a snapshot on that particular
on that day.
So,
no, I asked why did everyone try and do it on that
because
day?
You because you had to. That's well,
but,
what we're
supposed
then
now
to
they've
do.
Got until the 23rd.
Because well,
so.
They had to because their technology doesn't
yeah,
work.
But it's just a snapshot of a couple of weeks, yeah. really. Yeah. So yeah. really it doesn't really matter because everyone's day blends into another.
No,
so it's the same
and which
day.
Then I said, Mary and Joseph
yes.
had to travel for many, many miles.
Yeah.
Back in the day when she was heavily yeah. pregnant with the Son of God
yeah.
to go to Bethlehem to yeah. do the census.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That, she had to log on in Bethlehem.
No, not log on. They probably used little rocks and a cross. Oh, and a cross. Oh, didn't need to add that in, did I? I meant X marks the spot. But anyway, as we... It's true. Yeah, that's yes. what they went back for.
Oh, that's
you
great.
You don't. Our mother, you should. She'd be appalled. She was the religious education teacher.
I know, but
it was called religious instruction back in that day. That's how old we are. Oh. Anyway.
That would have been in the census form.
Yes. Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, wow.
You
that's
do,
really
you,
good.
You do your study on your...
No, I don't need to study. You've done a lot of study, it sounds like. It's really... but yet still haven't filled out your census form, have you? I didn't think so.
I can't log on. No. I need a donkey.
You need a dongle.
And some rocks.
You need a dongle that works.
I need a dongle.
Dongle that works. And a donkey. Well, I just want to bring back to the story about yes. Mary and Joseph heading off to do their census form.
Yeah.
And you said she was on a donkey and she had to go for miles
well,
and miles.
They did.
It was 7 miles.
No, it wasn't.
That's Beau Morris.
No, because I said Jerusalem to Bethlehem.
Seriously.
I got it wrong. It's wrong. They travelled for days and she was 9 months pregnant. With the Son of God. They didn't even know how she was pregnant. Like, it was very difficult. I'm going to Google where they went from to where. It was longer than... You're trying to say Sandringham to Beau Morris?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's not that far. On a donkey pregnant, it would be.
I don't think that story, a 7K walk on a donkey, is going to last over 2,000 years, is it, Dole? I don't think so. I think they're going to make it a bit more spectacular than that just to survive
well, you
the
know,
test of time.
They blossomed
aren't they?
It up. Like, I blossomed some of my stories.
You
up.
Blossom everything up, so
I
you
know.
Should be you
Let's
should
face
be backing
it, it was
this.
7K.
It wasn't.
Joseph made Mary go by herself. He was on the terps.
He was desperately
Sorry,
trying
Dole.
To figure out who it was that she'd... Oh, that's terrible. Mother, mother,
gone
mother,
to a place
mother.
That I didn't think no. we would go at
I'm
all.
Sorry, I didn't mean it. You
Cut
created
her mic
me.
Off.
It's not my
Cut
fault
her
these
mic
thoughts
off.
Come out of
this
my face.
This is little...
Heading out to the roads. Anna, what do you see?
Well, first of all, I just need to let everyone know that the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 111 kilometres.
Oh, you couldn't let it go.
So that
you?
Was quite
it was
some
a trip.
Journey.
It's about Melbourne to Rosebud.
On a, yes. on a donkey.
Not in one day.
In sandals,
donkey.
Pregnant. Yeah. Anyways.
You know, when you buy a Tesla Lotto ticket, I always have that process when I buy it and I think about things that I would do with the money straight away. And they're always yeah. usually quite positive. If I won, you know, oh, I'd get mum and dad this, or you know.
Yeah, I usually. Try
I even
to...
you're often in my plans to
I like,
help you out.
You have told me that, but you said that I'd have to work.
You
for
gotta,
it.
You got to. There's a goal. Like there's always a.
He's got to set a goal about it
that you have to do to perform.
It's just a give.
However, Anna Murphy, I'd never make you do this.
Right.
this 41-year-old lady won Tats Lotto. Worth yes. $3 million on
Ooh,
Friday night, but showed up to work Monday to deliver one last package.
Oh.
The courier company had no idea of her winnings, and the manager said this, I knew something was wrong because I came back from lunch and the door of my office was closed.
Oh, God.
I slowly opened the door to discover the woman with her pants around her ankles, oh. hunched over my desk like a hippopotamus, cheetah dropping a massive poo on my desk.
Oh, my God.
She shot her head up towards me, locked eyes. I was frozen in shock with fear. In my peripheral vision, I saw a huge mud monkey sliming out of her butt like a Play-Doh fun
monkey.
Factory.
Out of a Play-Doh. Oh.
That's
she
too
says,
funny.
She goes on to say it was worth it. On Friday, I realised when I'd hit the lotto, I knew that this would be the first thing I'd do. I hit up every Mexican food truck and saved my dumps all weekend. How? How did she do that? Oh, you can't eat Mexican and hold on all weekend. That's just
She really had a grudge,
ridiculous.
Didn't she?
She said I was shuffling around like a death row inmate trying not to explode. I've been putting up with that guy's crap for years. It's time you put up with some of mine. That
oh my
is brilliant.
God, that is priceless. She needs the clap for that, I tell you what. Well done. Good work. Good work.
Oh.
And we have a winner of our prize, Anna Murphy, double pass to go to the AFL Pride game, which is on this weekend, the first ever Pride game.
That's right. And just to backtrack, we were playing the game of if you won the lottery, what would you first thing you'd do?
Yeah.
Because some lady in America decided to take some sweet, sweet revenge on her boss.
Do you want to tell the people what she did?
Yeah, she took a dump on his desk.
There's no sugarcoating that, is there? No, there's not.
No.
Well, we found a winner, and it happens to be. And it's not because I was included into his lotto win.
Well, probably.
No, it was drawn out of a hat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't wink and say that it's like whatever. It was. Anyway, Mick has picked up the double pass to go to the footy this weekend.
Because he said he was going to buy himself an apartment, debt gone, and then first class dirty trip to Berlin with Dean Murphy.
Look, you know, and because I am, obviously, I can't, well, I work at the station, so I can't take up any offers from the punters like that, even though
you're clearly open
we'll
to bribes.
We'll talk about it later on. I'm on Facebook anyway, Mick, if you want to. So you've won the double pass to the AFL Pride game. Shut up, Anna Murphy. Speaking of people who are doing really good things, this man has to win the Murphy's Law award for best on ground this week. Thank you very much. Oh. Graham Dempsey, who lives in Ballarat, actually, he almost died in a truck accident years ago. And when he got through that sort of horrible time, he decided he was going to give blood. And so he's given blood every fortnight since, and he's up to 700. This is his 700th time that he's about to give blood.
Oh, my goodness.
He saved, through his blood, 2,100 lives. That gets the Murphy's Law clap.
God.
I'm telling you now, that is awesome.
Indeed.
Which is great. And
how many people have saved?
2,100 lives have been saved from his blood. And he drives from Ballarat to Melbourne every fortnight to do it.
70 yep. something.
Yeah,
oh,
70,
see, I think that's
76.
Great. I'm really annoyed because I'm not allowed to.
Why aren't you allowed to? Because you work at a gay radio station.
No.
Because we're not allowed to give it.
No. Auntie, that's awful.
No, we're not allowed to give.
Oh.
No.
No, I'm not because I lived in London during a period of time. Between,
what?
If you lived for over 6 months in the UK.
Yeah.
Between 1980 and 1996.
Yeah.
So 16 years.
16 years.
You're not allowed.
What do you mean? Why?
Because of the mad cow disease.
Oh.
And I think we can all agree that somebody in this room was affected.
Yeah.
A little more than most.
Wow. All things Olympic, I haven't watched much of the actual games themselves.
But do you know what? I don't usually watch it. Quite proud of that. I tuned in and I saw that gymnast.
Oh God! Did you actually see it live?
Yeah.
And
I'm not okay with it at all.
Saw the replay on it.
So yeah, no.
Wow.
There was a day on Facebook where flicking through Facebook, and that's all that you saw, and it was revolting.
Revolting. I feel sick even thinking about it. So I've sort of tuned out.
Apart from that, I have seen a lot of other stuff, like the Olympic pool went green.
Heaven!
like fluoro.
Really? Okay.
Green, like a toxic green.
And apparently they ran out of the chemical.
What, chlorine?
It's
not hard.
They said that there's a series of chemicals, and it's not one that's going to be dangerous to the to the athletes, but we ran out. It's like, okay, so in your planning, and this was day three of the Olympics, it goes for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In your planning, budgeting for enough chemicals to stop the pool going green would be high
chlorine.
On the agenda, wouldn't it?
Acid.
Chlorine.
Yeah. The other thing I loved was the sofa, which was in the kayak. Where the kayaks
imagine the sofa.
compete. Oh. And a sofa just floating down.
You train for 4 years. You're in your kayak. Away you go. You're focused. And then you just bump into a sofa floating past you.
It's an interesting
game. There was a duck sitting on it as well.
It's an interesting.
Watching television.
Yeah. Or a family.
Maybe you would feel like you were in that kayak. Maybe you'd feel like you'd been drugged or something. And you were just hallucinating.
And look, Australia's doing reasonably well, but it's overshadowed by all these, you know, disastrous things that are happening in Rio. But we're doing quite well. America's on 11. I think Japan's on 10 or something.
We're on 5.
And we're on 5, which is not bad in the scheme of things.
I think it's great.
I think it's shot Dean Murphy out of the water this morning and just went, yeah, well, it's week one, doll. Wait till the athletics start.
Yeah, I know, but don't, it's pretty good. It's better than last time. Like, the swimmers are doing well.
Hey, can we have a clap to the
swimmers?
Come on, swimmers.
Yeah.
You bloody beauties, and you've kept your yourselves together and you're not having steel knocks parties
that's
anymore.
Exactly,
so
that's
right. Important.
And our springboard diving girls won bronze in the synchro, which was fabulous. So
God,
congratulations to those
socks
as well. If you've seen something that you really love on the Olympics, let us know.
I tell you what I really love, looking at Tom Daley.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh,
yeah,
look always at everybody.
Actually, it is an Olympic full of hotties. If you go on Facebook or YouTube or whatever.
They are very handsome. And there was an accidental censorship thing. Did you see that on all the divers? They put up these black boxes in front of the male divers, but it just made them look like porn stars.
Yes.
Because it was like while they were, like, they're relaxing against walls or showers and stuff.
Well,
and
I've seen
like
them with their names and their scores come across right where their bathers are. They look completely in the
nude. Like porn stars. And they've got to have something to fall back on after the Olympics too.
Can we also discuss, just quietly, what the hell are the beach volleyball girls wearing? Like, they're naked.
It's Brazil. It's Rio. Of course they...
No, and then the Egyptian Muslim team went out, covered head to toe.
They were
That's true athleticism, because they would have been stinking hot.
I went back through our podcast last week, and you're anti-flesh at the moment. I've noticed that you're taking a bit of a stance against anything naked. Well, what is that?
Well, because I don't personally like getting my kid off.
Like on your balcony, in your penthouse apartment.
No.
Don't like getting out there on the balcony.
Why would I get out of my balcony?
You're in the penthouse. Who can see
I
you?
I would.
Yeah.
Why would I
get... So what do you do when you own a penthouse?
I've been waving to the people in the park. Hello.
No, I don't see that.
Oh, my God.
No. It doesn't matter to you, because what we're going to talk about now is at the ripe old age of, I won't say your age because you'll kill me, but at the ripe old age that you are, you've now finally got a job.
Yeah. No, it's not like I haven't. The way you say that portrays that I've never had a job.
Well.
But this week, yes, I started work for an employer.
Yes.
I've worked for myself for like 12 years.
I should have highlighted that, but it sounded
it made
much
me sound
better.
Like I've been unemployed and just doing community broadcasting for ever. Well, it's pretty much the same. Started a job this week.
You did. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's hard yards, isn't it?
And we're thrilled. The members of your friendship group and family who have jobs.
Yeah.
With bosses to answer to and all that sort of stuff. We're thrilled.
Well, it is. It's a funny old game too, because I've only had to answer to myself for a long, long time. And now
doesn't like direction.
What? I love direction.
Oh,
I love One Direction.
Oh, One Direction. Yeah, that's about the, yes.
It's a weird thing though, isn't it? Going like,
yes.
Like, I was, my first day, can I just say, I was close to mega meltdown. Like, seriously?
Really?
Yeah, full on. Like, it was
I'm
because,
pretty
you know,
sure
when you, meet...
you were closer than just close. I'm pretty sure you were in the eye of the storm on Monday when I spoke
Well,
to you.
It was because it's quite daunting, isn't it? Like, all of a sudden you meet a million new people. You're in meetings that you don't know what's going on. You're in sort of, you're trying to learn processes and what they do and how they go about business. They're talking lingo. None of it's making sense.
Well, yes, because you haven't been in that corporate sort of environment.
Yeah. Yeah, you just feel so, like, it's just, I felt as useless as a lifeguard of the Olympic swimming. You know, it was one of those moments that you
but
just
I
go,
I
don't
you,
know what I'm doing.
Because those of us who change jobs every few years, as is our way.
Because you've had quite a few, haven't you?
Well, I just tend to. That's what happens in...
Because you're funny.
Oh, right.
Can't hold it down.
Can't hold it down. No, but, you know, like, you go through the process and you're a new kid on the block and all that sort of stuff. When you do it a bit, you're
the new kid on the block, probably the oldest kid on the block.
You
there.
Understand that you're not supposed to know everything on the day that you
but
start.
But you feel like you should.
Well, no, nobody else does.
And then you feel like, oh my God, I've been on this earth all this time and I know nothing.
I always think when you start a new job that they should give you a little book that has the lingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like a little glossary or something so you can learn the language.
Mm. I asked some really stupid things on that day too. I will never, ever be able to live that down. That's how, you know, first impressions.
No, there are no
first Some of them were
questions.
Bad.
Like what?
Oh, just things, you know, you do little things and I was walked in to meet some people and have a chat and I was like trying to portray that I was really taking it all in and whatever and leant back on what I thought was a shelf and knocked over all the stuff in the
As
office.
You do.
Like just things like that.
Yeah.
And you just go, right. God.
One of my best mates tells a tale that when he first leapt out of flying into pharmaceutical world, so like he did very well to do that without a science background and all that sort of stuff. So he's talked himself into this job and he was at the conference for the first time and somebody asked him to take the minutes and of these sessions that they were in. So, but he'd never heard the term before. And he literally thought it meant take the time and keep everyone on time. So he's there. No one pulled him up on it. He's there going, "Come on, we've got to get to the next session. Come on!" Like, and being really bossy. And people are like, "What?" Yeah, no idea.
Do you know what the funny thing about it is? I'm actually working in what is predominantly the nicest working environment. Like the nicest people. They were so nice to me on the first day that I felt like the special needs kid.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? It was just like, "Are you being nice to me?" I was like, "Yeah, okay."
We've always been treating you like that. Let us know.
If you've had a first day job and it's been a bit awkward, let us know. Important news.
There was a pregnant pause because the story relating to the... I was sidetracked. I'm sorry, everyone. But the story about the quadruple sculls, the Australia has nabbed...
Quadruple sculls.
A silver medal in the men's quadruple sculls. Oh. I'm sorry that I can't spit this out because whilst I'm trying to read what Shane was talking about, there's a photo of the four.
We're going to put it up on our Facebook page.
In their outfits.
Oh.
And let's just say... There's a lot on display.
There's
more on display there than...
it's a fine advertisement of Australian manhood.
Oh, it is. Well, it is indeed.
To a Catholic. And you know what? One's meat's run away from the potato.
I know. It's like they've been harvested wrong. It's not okay.
But it's a stunning... Oh, that's what their faces look like. Sorry, I wasn't... And I've never wanted to be Lycra before in all my life as what I do right now. It's a wonderful sight. Me. And we need to get into a song so we can investigate some more. And we'll put it up on our Facebook page. You know when you go for, with your dog for just a walk? Well, you don't have a dog. You've got a cat. But when you go for a walk for the dog and you throw stuff, it goes into bushes and occasionally comes back with a stick or a ball, finds a tennis ball or whatever. Well, this dog, these people took their chocolate Labrador, Galaxy, for a walk. And he ran off into the bush and came back with a massive, massive... big black dildo.
Oh God!
And ran around the park with it. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't get it out of his mouth.
And the thing is, though, when they sense that you really want to get that, that's a game in itself.
Yeah.
So come we're on, not letting go.
And how it's like if you're around a whole bunch of other doggy people in the park, there's your dog with the dildo.
No, this happened to a.
Do you know what I mean? You almost want to say that's not my dog.
This happened to a friend of mine who had a little white dog, and she was entertaining had a fella over, and he's proudly come out with an orange one in his mouth. And she's like, "Oh my God,
mortifying."
Dogs, can't they be gorgeous and can't they just be the most embarrassing?
Well, he doesn't know what he's got. But anyway, apparently the husband of one of the girls who was out walking the dog has actually taken it and used it as a trophy for his golf days. Which is a bit weird. Just slightly strange.
Oh, dear. They're funny things, aren't they?
They are indeed.
They are. I never forget, actually, when I went to one of my gay best mates lived downstairs from me for a very long time, and that was an entertaining scenario, having your mate live downstairs. And I went to return a coffee cup one Sunday morning, and the door of his house was open. So that was fine. Like, that was usually an invitation you could go in. And as I walked towards the door, there was just this giant dildo on his coffee table. And I just proudly put the coffee cup away, like on the outside table, and ran away.
I also went in mate's dishwasher. Anyway, we play a game. It's called Last Man Standing. It's me against you. That's the way it works. Tim asks a question, we answer it, someone wins. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
What is it today, Timbo?
Hang on.
Who goes first?
We are tied.
All tied.
At six all.
Did I win last week?
You did win last week.
Does that mean I start? Okay.
So how do we know who goes first?
So Dean, as the carryover champion, will be starting. Today's topic...
I go first, actually.
Today's topic is movies that have sequels.
Gun? No! I didn't mean Top Gun.
Oh, my God.
I meant Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Congratulations, Anna.
Thank you. It was a really hard contest, but I feel like I came through there. I feel like getting on a podium and celebrating.
To celebrate, you can go and wee.
Thank you very much. Top Gun. This lovely story has come off the internet this week. A man came into Tesco and unfortunately bought a cucumber and there was a dead worm in it.
Oh.
Right. So he, you know, customer complaints can take all shapes and sizes. This one sort of escalated. It's a legitimate complaint.
Yeah.
But this is the email that he sent to Tesco.
So this is the guy with the worm?
So the guy with the worm. So I'm going to read that and then I will let you know how Tesco responded. So first of all, Wes from wherever in England. Dear Tesco, yesterday I purchased one of your fine cucumbers, which I had planned on using to make my favourite dish, a cucumber sandwich.
Oh, lovely.
Upon opening my cucumber, I discovered a worm inside the wrapping. Oh. Please see picture. I thought, at last, finally, Tesco has come up with something to beat Aldi's free spider with bananas offer. I excitedly shouted to the kids to come downstairs and meet our new pet. We decided to name him William.
Oh, William.
Our new pet appeared to be very unresponsive. We just put it down to him being very sleepy and decided to give him some time to come around. 24 hours later and William still hadn't moved. On closer inspection, he seems quite flat. Again, see picture. And I think he may be dead. Well, I'm no vet, but I think the tight shrink wrap on the cucumber may just have squished and killed William. I've now gone very English, haven't I?
Keep it going.
I know Aldi's banana spiders were deadly, but at least they had some life in them. I now have three very upset children, a worm funeral to plan.
It's very hot at Harry Potter, isn't it?
And to top it all off, I've totally lost my taste for cucumber sandwiches, which, as everyone knows, are a favourite at any wake.
Oh.
So come on, Tesco, wiggle your way out of that one.
What was their response?
So fortunately, Tesco was sympathetic. They said, now I'll try another. Shall I try another accent? Right.
Give it a go.
I'll be heading to a muddy festival shortly, trawling through the fields of damp grass and dirt, much like William would have during his happier times. This means I won't be able to make it on the day, unfortunately, though I've decided to compose a poem, which I hope you can read out on the day. Would that be okay? Here goes. An ode to William. Although life takes funny old turns, we can all learn from William the Worm. Let us gather, light a candle to burn, and celebrate the life of William the Worm. Lights shine bright, let's eat sponge cake through the night, because there's many a lesson to learn. He wriggled many miles, he gave us many smiles, so we stand today confident and firm. William will be back, very much like Arnie. So now we will all check before we make a sarnie.
Oh.
Hashtag poems for William. Wishing you the best.
That is awesome. Well done.
Rob from Customer Care. That's gorgeous.
I wish Vodafone would do that when they stuff up my bill. Like, send me a poem. I'd be more forgiving.
Well, I think what shows here is if you didn't ring them and abuse them, they might write you a poem.
Murphy's Law. One listen and you'll feel so much better about your own siblings.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.